This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network. Hey everyone, Andy here. I know you're used to usually hearing James on these intros, but he is currently indisposed with some personal commitments, so you're stuck with me today. Yeah, sorry for you, but listen, we're going to have a good time. There's a few topics we're going to cover today on the podcast, especially with the impending NHL season, some narratives going into the training camp for the Rangers, and just what does the season hold for both the Rangers and the NHL in general. So yeah, let's not waste any more time and get right into it. Before we do start, though, I would be remiss if I didn't thank all of you listening. You know, we've received some excellent feedback in the last month since moving to YouTube and putting up live streaming our recordings of the podcast. And yeah, we just received some really nice and encouraging words, and I just can't thank everyone enough for that. We couldn't do this without your support, and getting to have conversations and interact with you makes this all the more enjoyable for James and I. And yeah, we just, like I said, I can't thank you guys enough. And listen, if there's ever anything you want covered on the podcast, just hit us up. You can tweet at us on Twitter. You can send us a direct message on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod. You can go to our, leave a comment on our YouTube page. Just search Broadway Boys Podcast on YouTube. And yeah, we would be more than happy to cover any of your questions or topics that you have ideas for. And we'll be sure to give you a shout out if we use your question on the show. So, yeah, I don't know how much of an incentive that is, but like I said, one of the best parts of this podcast for James and I is getting to interact with the listeners, and your support means the world to us. So thank you so much, and we look forward to continuing to put out content that you guys can enjoy, because we all love the New York Rangers and we all love listening to hockey talk. Well, I hope you do, because if you're doing this as, I don't know, maybe they're using this as some form of torture in a dungeon somewhere, which, yeah, wouldn't surprise me. All right, so let's get into it. I've seen a lot of the same questions and topics floating around Rangers Twitter and hockey Twitter, and I thought today would be a perfect day, as I'm flying solo, to address some of these questions and topics and maybe just provide my take on them, hopefully provide at least a little background or context for people that didn't have the full picture. And yeah, and you can do with that what you will. Especially if you disagree, please, like I said a few seconds ago, let us know, because we absolutely love disagreement. It helps make this thing called hockey fandom colorful. And yeah, it's great when people have varying opinions, you know, because I could definitely be wrong, and it would be great to just have a varying opinion. So on our last podcast, we spoke about the World Junior Championships, and you know, when doing a podcast and trying to record something in as timely a fashion as possible, you know that the second you finish recording, something's going to change. Well, we've recorded our World Junior podcast. We talk about expectations for the Rangers prospects that are playing in that tournament. We talk about Carl Henriksen potentially getting a chance to shine if he was paired with Lucas Raymond and Alexander Holtz. We talk about a guy like Hunter Skinner, unfortunately not making the tournament. Well, Carl Henriksen tests positive for COVID and is no longer able to compete for Team Sweden in the tournament. I believe their coach just also tested positive. So, yeah, it's a real problem for Team Sweden. And as far as Hunter Skinner goes, he actually, after a few U.S. prospects also test positive and have to pull from the tournament, Hunter Skinner gets an invite for Team USA. So it just goes to show, trying to do something timely, especially during a pandemic, you're always playing catch up with how quickly things are changing and because we all have to roll with the punches right now. But listen, you know, you wish a speedy recovery for anyone who has tested positive for COVID-19. But now it looks like, especially with Team USA, this gives other guys a chance to step up. Maybe Brett Berard, it's not such a long shot to make that final roster. And now Hunter Skinner has a chance. He's got his foot in the door. with COVID in mind, another thing is we've seen some progress with the start of the upcoming NHL season. We've spoken to how January 1st is gone. That was their hope, but obviously that wasn't able to materialize in time. We've heard from people like Brian Burke saying that the players refuse to give up their holidays. They want to be with their loved ones. And if you play in Canada, but you are a U.S. citizen, that would mean having to leave early in order to meet the quarantine requirement. Means missing out on the holidays with your loved one. And yeah, that was understandably a no-go for them. So the league and the players have agreed to temporarily shelve the talks of raising escrow caps and players paying back the owners and how much they're going to owe in due time and, you know, interest rates on those payments. And yeah, that's all getting deferred for now. Both sides are in the coming week are going to focus solely on safety protocol for return to play, including division alignment, training camps, exhibitions, number of games, et cetera, et cetera. A few insiders, including ESPN's Emily Kaplan, have already reported that the goal for the league is a January 13th start date, training camps opening 2 weeks prior to that, no exhibition games, and just trying to 56 games, I believe, is the goal. But obviously, this is all a tenuous and nebulous situation because COVID has, just as we spoke about earlier, you just can't, there's no way to really prepare for it. You can do your best, but the reality is you will be hit with curveballs and you're going to have to remain flexible and adaptable. And I think Gary Bettman has said as much over the summer when talking about completing the playoffs last time. I think they don't wish to do bubbles as much as they wish to try to do hub cities. You'd have to imagine this would include teams traveling to cities and then playing a series of games against the same opponent just to limit travel and try to limit exposure. And yeah, I mean, obviously, as of right now, at first, one of the big reasons there was a stalemate is that owners thought they could at least get limited capacity to start the season in some places. That's clearly not going to happen. But as we spoke on not our last podcast, but the podcast before this, this year is important. The league needs to burn this year off of the final year of their contract with NBC so they can renegotiate with both NBC and some other major players, potentially ESPN. Yeah, because if this season doesn't go off with a hitch, then that, you know, they will have to burn that off next year. And then I believe that's the same season that the rights to the NFL TV deal is up as well. And you obviously don't want to try to get a piece of the pie with them across the table. So yeah, it's in their best interest to just complete the season in whatever form it takes as safely as possible and stress as much personal responsibility to the players, coaching, training staffs, and league officials as possible. The biggest question is how the league and the NHLPA intend on pulling this off, given the worsening situation with the pandemic. The hope, I believe, is to initially play in teams' home buildings, but as I had mentioned, between rapidly escalating cases in some areas and just local provincial and government, local government restrictions in some states, yeah, it's going to be difficult. As a fallback, Greg Wyshynski of ESPN has reported that the league has some options for which would be hub cities. Determined based on, you know, teams that met a certain number of criteria, which would be they're the only tenant in their building arena in which they play, so they wouldn't have to share with, like, let's say an NBA team or indoor whatever is going on, would have access to multiple ice sheets so teams could practice. Games would be going on throughout the day, so it would be important to be able to rotate between practice time, morning skate time, and off teams practicing throughout the day. Would have little in the way of local COVID restrictions, and then obviously enough hotel housing for teams and staffs. But yeah, I mean, I believe if that's to be the case, then that January 13th would look less likely. This was something that would take more time to arrange, especially to
get the players to agree to it, because it would require them to be away from their families for a bit. And because of the sacrifice a lot of them made to go into finish the season, I'm not sure really they would want to do that again. So I do believe they are looking to start in home buildings as possible. There are currently COVID restrictions in place for the West Coast teams, or the California teams, I should be more specific. The Ducks, the LA Kings, the San Jose Sharks, I believe the Winnipeg Jets. So those teams might have to start their seasons playing or sharing a building with another team due to COVID restrictions in their own localities. The league and the NHLPA clearly has its work cut out for them. I don't know how they're going to make it work, but you can definitely feel there is an internal drive by both sides to get the season done. We'll see what happens, but January 13th still remains the new intended target, and it seems a lot more likely than obviously that January 1st date was, and there's a lot more positivity towards it going on. But yeah, this is an ever-changing and nebulous situation. Like I said, every day we're finding out new information about the spread of COVID, and yeah, teams in the league are going to have to be vigilant, and they're going to have plans A, B, and C, and they're all going to have to be as airtight as possible. And like I said, they're going to have to preach a lot of personal responsibility for the players and the staffs and their families. And yeah, a lot of it's going to be making good decisions and finding out how to isolate when this stuff does happen. Because like I said, you're going to see a lot of guys get pulled off inexplicably due to testing positive. And then, yeah, teams are going to have to make do. And when you only are playing a 56 at the maximum season, if you one all takes is one bad stretch or lose a guy for at a key and crucial time, and you know, if it's your goaltender and your backup and has to fill in all that time for two week stretch, especially they're going to try to shoehorn a lot of these games in, it could be quite devastating to your hopes for the season. So I assume between attack, but to say, I guess the same coin, you'll have extended taxi squads, because we don't even know if the AHL, which is projected to start up February 1st, yeah, that could be in jeopardy as well. So, you know, if you have expanded rosters, who knows, maybe this is a time for some lower-end talent to maybe try to get their foot in the door or make an impression or a mark. So we'll see. I guess that's kind of like everything with this pandemic, is this, we'll see what happens and just keep our fingers crossed. All right, so let's get into some Rangers-related topics. Naturally, a lot of people's sights have been set on Rangers training camp, who the invites are going to be, who are competing for the spots, and who will probably ultimately win those spots. It's difficult to predict. You have to imagine, especially their forward core, for the most part, is pretty locked up. You can maybe argue there's potential flexibility in the bottom six, but that top nine in, you know, maybe outside of, you know, one winger spot on the third line is up for grabs. You have to imagine, some as it stands today, some combination of Mika Zibanejad, Chris Kreider, Pavel Buchnevich, Artemi Panarin, Ryan Strome, Kaapo Kakko, and now you add Lafreniere and Hedl to that mix, you know, are locked into the top nine. And then, so I guess your question is, who slots in alongside Lafreniere does start? It's a big if. If Lafreniere does start on the third line with Hedl, as most have projected him to, who slots on the opposite wing? Would it be Julien Gauthier? Would it be Brendan Lemieux? Does Brett Howden permanently stay on the wing and leaves fourth or third line center duties up to Morgan Barron, if he can make it out of camp, or Patrick Kotarenko? So, yeah, I mean, like, you know, eight of those top nine spots are pretty much locked up. I guess it just becomes a question of who is in Quinn's good graces at any given moment. Who are the surprises out of camp? Phil DiGiuseppe, Lemieux, Howden, potentially Hedl maybe at times, although I wouldn't want that. All these guys will be kind of shuffling on the fourth line at various times, I assume. And that's not even counting Kevin Rooney, who the Rangers signed to be a fourth line defensively responsible penalty killer. But the defense is really the thing that has been on most prognosticators and Rangers fans' minds. Obviously, they
Mark Stahl gets shipped off to Detroit, but the Rangers then go right around and sign Jack Johnson as a, I don't know, I guess a veteran presence to compete for a spot. And I guess the question is, will he be playing? Will he factor into that left side for the Rangers this season? And I'm sure he's going to get some games. I don't know if it's necessarily a given that that spot is his, but unfortunately for the Rangers, they are as solid as they are on the right side. They're definitely weaker on that side, you know, because between Lindegren, I guess now Jack Johnson and Brendan Smith, although Smith did equate himself pretty nicely after Brady got traded to Carolina last season. So, yeah, I mean, Smith has been up and down his tenure with the Rangers. But, yeah, I guess there's some hope that he can at least hold down one of those spots. But, yeah, listen, between Itamar Reuninen, who the Rangers are definitely very high on and I think is a strong bet to at least win some time on that side out of camp, Keandre Miller, who maybe is raw and won't be as ready as you would hope. At the same time, I think with the pandemic and everything that's going on in the AHL and not wanting to stall his development, I could honestly see them wanting to keep him with the big club just to make sure they can guarantee he's getting reps, because no one really knows what the volatility of the NHL is going to be, much less the AHL, in terms of keeping their players safe and shutdowns. And yeah, this is a crucial time for him. He needs to be playing. And I think in their minds, if they would almost maybe rather him a little bit over his head as opposed to playing in a league where he might be more susceptible to starting and stopping and canceled games lost to the pandemic. So, but yeah, that remains to be seen. I still ultimately do think Keandre is in the AHL at least for a good portion of the season, but I also wouldn't be surprised that if it's not immediately that he does at least see some time, or if in the upcoming negotiations that are going on this week for what expanded rosters might look like and how many players the teams can carry, who knows, maybe he makes it in some form of an extended taxi squad type situation. So, but yeah, it remains to be seen. Can't put the cart before the horse. We have to see how everyone looks in camp. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I think of that left side, I wouldn't be surprised if Tarmo Reuninen can solidify a spot for himself. You know, and we also forget that Libor Hájek, despite having a fairly up and down last season and a half, is in the running to hold down a spot on that left side. So yeah, there's competition. It's just the quality of that competition is half-baked, I guess you might say. But you know, we don't know if ultimately a player like Tony moves over to the left. Apparently he's done it before and he says it's no problem. But yeah, we'll see. The coaching staff has limited, but they do have options. So we'll have to see what happens there. Another thing on a lot of fans' minds is Vitali Kravtsov. Does he come over immediately? If he comes over, is it for an NHL spot? Is he going to have to go back to the AHL? Like, what's the deal there? So yeah, Vitali is currently playing in the KHL with his home team Tractor. They're actually a pretty good team this year, and he seems to have rebounded pretty nicely from just a tough season last year. You know, he started out his KHL season on fire, and he was lighting it up. I think he was like, I don't know. He was on a torrid goal scoring pace. He cooled down a bit, but the good news for fans is that his play off the puck is much improved. Tractor this season is a much better defensively coached team. And yeah, they're a defensive minded team, so they don't score. They're not one of those, you know, KHL powerhouse teams that just like, you know, CSK Moscow, you know, that just puts up, you know, a ridiculous number of goals a game because the talent disparity is too great. But yeah, they're a defensively minded team and they play well as a unit. And yeah, Vitali's really bought into that. His play off the puck is much better. His effort on back checks is much better. He's going to the net more. And even when he's not scoring, he's doing good things. And yeah, he's been putting up points here and there, and you know, assist here, or I think he's one of the top shot generators in the entire KHL, which is a very promising sign, and he usually ends up with the most ice time on his team, if not second most. You know, and that's jumping between the first line and the second line. It's clear his coach trusts him and understands how talented and, you know, promising of a player Vitaly is. But no, it's not. He's not going to be summoned to come to training camp for the Rangers. I believe, you know, there was much was made about that handshake agreement between the Rangers and Traktor. You know, he's in a good spot. He's improving his play away from the puck. He's on a good team that could potentially make a run to the Gagarin Cup. So, yeah, just leave him be. He gets good, valuable experience. He's playing for, you know, his teammates and himself, and he can get some, yeah, with especially how nebulous, like I said, everything is right now. Just leave him be. Let's hopefully he makes a good run. It's a good experience. He's playing, if he can play for a championship. And when he is ousted and the season's over or he wins, then he comes over to North America. Because like I said, we still aren't looking at a season. So, yeah, just leave him be. And, yeah, I hopefully when he comes over, you would have to hope he is ready because he looks ready. It's just, you know, again, he is just by definition of the kind of player he is. He's a ultimately more of a finesse catch and release shooter type player. But, yeah, we've seen promising things that, God forbid, if he did have to play on the third line or in a bottom six role, hell, you know, that might even be at some point on opposite a Alexis Lafreniere. And that could be just what the doctor ordered in terms of you have a guy who can really drive the line and Kravtsov, who is a smart, cagey player, can put himself in good spots. And Lafreniere can do most of the heavy lifting. But, yeah, that remains to be seen. We know how David Quinn makes his rookies really show it, and he has to make sure he can trust them before putting those in roles, hence why it's very rare to see Quinn throw three rookies over the boards who are still developing their play away from the puck, because he has to make sure he can trust them if he's going to give them minutes and that they're not all going to be trying to fly the zone or cheat for offense. You know, he's always talking about you know, intentions and doing the right thing and, you know, body language and no BS in your game, you know, all that fun stuff that he likes to harp on. But, you know, he has a point. You definitely need to, you can't have two guys trying to fly the zone and leave one guy, you know, low to try to beat 2 forecheckers to break the puck out. That's just not going to work. So between seemingly inevitable positive COVID tests and, yeah, just the nature of the season, I think you're going to see a lot of experimenting and movement throughout the lines. And if things aren't working in such a shortened season, if you don't fix it quickly, you're dead in the water. So if something's not working, I think most coaching staffs will be apt to try to plug a hole quickly, make a quick fix, or try to goose offense out of a line instead of just leaving things and hope it works itself out. Yeah, because if you don't, if you don't have a good start or you have a bad stretch, that's you know, good night, Jim Kite. That's going to be it. We have a few more topics to cover on today's podcast, but first we're going to throw it to commercial. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Hello and welcome. My name is Brad Lieb. I am a former professional hockey player, and this is the Life After Hockey podcast. This is the place where I'll be interviewing former players and exploring their life after hockey journeys, including their successes, challenges, and the causes that they are passionate about. So please join me on the Hockey Podcast Network every Saturday for new episodes, and follow me on Twitter at Brad M. Lieb for all my podcast updates. And until then, keep going and enjoy your life.
You should really do yourself a favor and check out some of the original content on the Hockey Podcast Network. As you just heard, Brad Lieb's Life After Hockey podcast is excellent. Tales with TR, Terry Ryan's podcast is amusing as all heck, and excellent podcast as well. Great stories. House of Hockey, talking to people that just make their lives in this sport we all love, is an excellent podcast. They actually are having Rangers legend Brad Park as their most recent guest, so check that out. I can't wait to listen to it. I'm super. If
you're a fan of music, specifically punk rock, check out the Bar Down Breakdown podcast, which covers, you know, the cross between hockey fandom and all things punk rock and, you know, and pop punk and hard rock. And yeah, it's an awesome podcast. I'm a big fan. I love listening to it. So yeah, you should definitely check that out. And that goes for the non-original content podcasts on the Hockey Podcast Network as well. You know, just don't have to be a Rangers fan to listen to Hungry for Hawks talk, or hell, you know, maybe you want. And be sure to check out the Hockey Podcast Network's non-original content shows too. We have coverage of every team in the National Hockey League. You want the inside scoop on the Devils or the Islanders, you know, if you're a Rangers fan, see what they're up against this season, especially with division realignment. They're going to be a lot more, they're going to play these teams a lot more. It's going to be a lot more heated. Check out the Devil's State of Mind podcast or Never Say Die Isles podcast hosted by TJ and the Grumpy Old Man. Any itch you want to scratch, the Hockey Podcast Network has exactly what you need. So yeah, check out all the wonderful shows. I can't say enough about it. I love interacting with the hosts and doing guest spots, having them on our podcasts and teaming together to do original content, which we will do for our Patreon or just non-network exclusives. So just do yourself a favor and check it out. Back to our Rangers-related topics. I guess the biggest question is, in a shortened season, do the New York Rangers have what it takes to make the postseason? And they have a lot more variables and factors to consider this season, or at least different ones than they usually do. One being quality of competition. Will there be changes to the playoff format? Will there be play-ins like there was last season, with if you're going to have to realign divisions? The proposed division the Rangers would find themselves in would include the Capitals, the Flyers, the Islanders, the Devils, the Hurricanes, and then the Boston Bruins and the Buffalo Sabres. Now, the Bruins have been knocking on that door for the last few years, so they've always been a top-flight team. So you might expect you wouldn't expect much different from them. And say what you will about Buffalo, but they really did improve this offseason. You know, maybe not enough, but at the same time, they get pick up Taylor Hall. They get Eric Staal as their second-line center behind Eichel. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see them much improved. This is a tough division. You could maybe argue outside of the Devils. You know, the Rangers, there's a chance they, just because based on their relative inexperience in the youth and maybe the fact that last year they took some people by surprise, they're towards the middle, if not maybe the bottom half of that division. But at the same time, it's so weird. I could also see them somehow being surprising everyone and being at the top. It's kind of hard to quantify where they will fit. It's be just based on, yeah, how difficult to predict everything is. You know, like I said, if you get off to a slow start or get off to a fast start, it could help make all the difference in the world. It could help you and hurt you. And, you know, when you're a young and experienced team, you know, we have yet more new pieces potentially coming in between Lafreniere and if Tamarino makes the team, who knows? There could be growing pains and things that worked last year. Maybe Strome and Panarin don't have the same chemistry. So you don't really know, but you know, looking at that division, I think it would be, it's kind of 50-50 for me whether or not the Rangers would make the postseason. You know, this is, I say this not knowing what the criteria will be for the postseason, because, you know, at the same time, I look over and the Colorado Avalanche, their division realigned is basically it's the Anaheim Ducks, the Arizona Coyotes, the Avs, the Dallas Stars who went to the Cup Final. The LA Kings, Minnesota Wild, San Jose, and Vegas. Outside of Dallas and Vegas, I think you feel like Colorado's just going to easily steamroll that division. So I don't know if they do things based on points percentage if making the playoffs depends on the division you find yourself in, or if they're just going to try to seed it. It's just who knows how they're going to weigh this type of stuff, because this should definitely be a factor, because yeah, some teams are going to have a much easier walk, whereas you could argue that the Rangers might find themselves in one of the most difficult division. Obviously the NHLPA and the league still has to vote on realignment, so who knows what form it takes, if it looks like some of the proposed divisions we've seen floating around. But that's a big factor, and like I had mentioned, we don't know Panarin most likely doesn't score at the same pace he did last season. Same thing with Mika Zibanejad. Those were most likely personal plateaus for them. If they're in the ballpark, great, but you could see a little bit of regression there. Like, we don't know if that how Ryan Strome will acquit himself again this year. Lafreniere should be a boost on paper coming in, but you don't know. We thought the same thing about Kako, and it was a little bit harder than everyone had anticipated. Most likely Kako himself. But yeah, you don't know. Who knows how, or more specifically, what steps Kako will have taken coming into the season. After a rough regular season, he looked really good in the playoffs. So hopefully he hits the ground running. So you just don't really, it's kind of hard to gauge what this team will look like when the puck drops. Maybe more so than some of the older teams, because some guys, you just see them come in and improve year over year, whereas those other teams that are more established, that are in the twilight, you're kind of waiting to see what their, you kind of know what their max level is, and you're kind of waiting to see what their regression slope looks like, which is hard to predict. Where the Rangers, it's the opposite. You're looking to kind of see what development slope they're on. It's not like, is this guy going to fall off a cliff next year? It's what, how far along will this guy be? Is Butch finally going to look every bit of the, you know, first, second, you know, top six scoring winger we think he can be? You know, will Kako finally look like what he was promised to be? Will Lafreniere be the, you know, have one of the easiest transitions for first overall pick as of late? Yeah, we don't know. These are remain to be answered. So as to whether or not the Rangers can make the postseason, they definitely can make it, but there's so many more variables to consider than usual. It's not the same old song and dance it's been for the last few seasons. Between the pandemic and the short number of games and realignment and not having time to get your feet under you, and especially how they looked fired up going into the bubble, but they clearly just did not know how to quickly, you know, flip the switch and set their mindset to the type of hockey that need to be played. But they were a good regular season team last year, and I think because they felt like they had house money, and then when it was time for them to get in that headspace, they just had no frame of reference and it was hard for them. So we'll see. It's going to be very interesting. But you know, I'm just like all of you, I'm so excited for Rangers hockey to be back, and just hockey in general. I'm just so excited to watch hockey. So even just every little bit that comes out of training camp, I'm going to be salivating off of, you know, grainy cell phone clips of Lafreniere taking line rushes in practice. Oh, I can't wait.
Another thing that I've seen floating around is whether or not the Rangers will finally name a captain this season. I'm going to go out on a limb and say most likely not. I don't think under regular circumstances they would be that keen to do it without fans in the building. It would be unfair, whoever that individual, whoever they deem it to be, under these circumstances, as like I said, as ever difficult and nebulous as they are, to throw them into this kind of environment and structure that's different from the norm, and then expect them to perform to the level of that being a captain demands. And also, like it's been said, the second that ping pong ball came up with the Rangers logo, I think it changed things in their mind. I think they want to see what they have in Lafreniere. If he has an absolute lights-out season, I think some of the names that fans were throwing around, be it either Kreider or Zibanejad, might take a backseat to, maybe they're it's just a matter of time before it belongs to their coveted first overall pick in Lafreniere. But again, we don't know. Well, I'm going to say with 99.9% certainty, the Rangers were probably not going to do it anyway. But now with just what a absolute nightmare to put the season together it's been, I don't think they're going to shove a new captain into that environment, no matter how long they've been in the league. So, yeah, I don't think a captain gets named this season. I think the more they want to see what they have in Lafreniere, and if he looks to be as advertised or what is promised, I think they start getting that they start warming it up for him. So we're going to go roll with more A's this season. You know, you assume that the A's will be Zibanejad, Kreider, who wore them last year at various times. Jesper Fast has left. You know, Mark Stahl has left. So I could see Trouba wearing an A, and that would lead one more. You know, I honestly wouldn't be surprised to see Ryan Strome get an A, or hell, even a Brendan Smith. You know, I don't think Panarin's the type of guy. That's just not his style. Not to say anything bad about him or that he couldn't do it. It's just, you know, I just don't think it's his bag. You know, Strome is a talkative, vocal guy who's been in the league for a bit.
you know, he's the Rangers player rep for the return to play and for the NHLPA. So, yeah, he wouldn't be a bad choice as long as they're
internally prepared to trade him at some point in the next two seasons before that bridge deal they gave him runs out, which seems like the most likely course to me, because I think either A, he doesn't perform up to expectation and they just want to move on from him, especially because they're looking for that 2C, you know, whether Hedl steps up or not, or they find that option elsewhere in a trade, or B, he does perform to that expectation again and they're just not comfortable paying him the numbers that would be contingent with putting up points by being in Panarin's orbit. So, yeah, just two things I think the team has to consider, but he wouldn't be a bad choice for an A, especially in this shortened season. They're definitely going to need, you know, all their leaders pulling the rope and stepping up and being vocal, you know, especially with the weird. It's going to be a little bit, it's be a little bit more difficult to manufacture your own internal drive and bravado, I think. It's incumbent on the leaders on that team to step up, especially with the void of Henrik Lundqvist not on the team anymore. It's a new era, so it's definitely on them to step up. Finally, the last thing I've seen kind of floating around is everyone's talking about the Calder race. Who wins the Calder this season? It's going to be a pretty stacked class. Not that it always isn't usually, but I just think there's so much uncertainty. You have a lot of players coming from overseas. You have a lot of rookies stepping into the league who maybe wouldn't be otherwise. I think you're going to see a lot of surprises. Looking at the Bovada odds for the Calder race, it's nice to see Igor Shesterkin at number one as plus 175. Lafreniere second at plus 375. And then going on down the list, you have people like Kirill Kaprizov, Denisenko, Quinton Byfield, Turcotte, Bowen Byram, who I actually think is Bowen Byram at plus 1,500. Damn, that's actually might be a good get. Listen, the field is pretty stacked. And every year it usually ends up being someone you didn't anticipate. But although I think people, you know, Makar and Hughes, it seemed like a bit of a two-horse race, although, you know, Adam Fox should have at least been more heavily favored into that conversation, and that's a hill I'm going to die on. But listen, you have Sorokin coming over for the Isles, and they're a very well-structured, defensively coached team, so they're going to insulate him well. Shesterkin obviously has a little bit more proof of concept, but at the same time, the Rangers are a defensive tire fire, so, and have been, and now you're getting rid of Mark Stahlier, but you're putting Jack Johnson into that same slot, and you know, it's possible like a Reunion or a Keandre Miller might come in and have, you know. And also, I think Adam Fox won't surprise many people, and maybe D'Angelo regresses a bit. So, yeah, listen, as I understand why he's number one, but he's going to have his work cut out for him. I don't think the Rangers' defensive woes, even with Jacques Martin coming in, they're not going to be solved overnight. So,
if I had to put my money on anyone, I guess I would put it on Shesterkin, but if I'm being honest, I would be more comfortable putting money on Lafreniere. I just think by nature of playing on the wing, I think he's in a better position to succeed, where Shesterkin is kind of like pass-fail, whereas Lafreniere, I think as long as he gets in the ballpark, you know, especially if you're only playing a 56-game season, if he gets anywhere close to 40 plus points, then all of a sudden, you know, you prorate that, and I think that might be enough for in some people's eyes. But it's definitely going to be interesting. Like I said, it ends up being, I don't think Byram's a bad bet either. Just, you know, he's been ready to knock on the door, and he's going to just become yet another excellent defensive piece for Colorado. But he's going to have to split ice time with Cale Makar, so that might hurt him a little bit, but yeah, who knows. Well, that about wraps up this edition of the podcast. Thank you so much for bearing with me. I definitely miss my co-host James, but we shall be back next Monday together again. Hopefully by then the league and the NHLPA have made an announcement with some initial plans. I know they've been drafting documents back and forth to each other. The Board of Governors does have to sign off on things like division realignment and health protocols, and then they have to look into these things. But it finally feels like the ball is starting to roll downhill a little bit, so it'll be nice to have
confirmation on that, and we can finally set our expectations. And instead of this moving target, it'd be nice just to say this is what it is, and we're going to do our damnedest to make it work. So hopefully that happens. As I said earlier on the podcast, if you ever have any questions or topics you want us to cover here on the Broadway Boys podcast, just tweet at us at Broadway Boys Pod. You can shoot us a direct message. You can leave a message on our YouTube page and comment on one of our videos. Whatever you want to do, just get in contact with us. Ask away. We'll give you a shout out on the pod and we'll cover your question or topic to the best of our ability. So until next time, I hope everyone stays safe, healthy, happy if possible, and get ready. Hockey's on the horizon. Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.